Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, December 1st, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after this brief break for non-members, my full review of the Impact Wrestling television show. Impact Wrestling aired Thursday night on Pop TV. It was taped November 7th in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada at the Aberdeen Pavilion. And this was an okay show, certainly for my taste, better than the Thanksgiving suit edition, even though I thought they did a nice job of building up to the actual turkey suit match. This one, in this particular episode, kind of got back to normal, essentially. Unfortunately, by normal means, they're still cutting to different venues from their partners and featuring matches that really just don't feel like they belong on the show. And this one was kept brief. We'll get to it, but I'm just saying it's they're still doing that. And I, for the life of me, don't understand if they know that they're going to be doing this, why they can't build up to those matches and go with matches that make sense within their storylines instead of just randomly cutting to some location to show a match. So one little thing, another issue with this show, and this is kind of a big picture thing, it's just so dark looking. It's just dingy, and they obviously are taping in Ontario here. It's really not any different than the Impact Zone. I wish they'd find a way to brighten things up. I don't know if it's, well, we got to keep it dark because we never know how many fans are actually going to be in attendance, but it just has kind of a gloomy look to the overall show. That's something that's standing out. You know, this wasn't a great show. It wasn't an awful show. It was just one of those shows. Let's work our way through it. The broadcast team was Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews, and we immediately were introduced to the women who were going to take part in something of a tournament, I guess, for the Knockouts Championship. This is a what they're doing is having two three-way matches. The winner of or the winners of those two matches will then meet in the finals, and the winner of that match will become the new Knockouts Champion. Of course, Gail Kim vacating the title recently, and the entrants are Casey Spinelli, Rosemary Alley, Laurel Van Ness, Madison Rayne, and Sienna. And I like that they did this right out of the gate. I like that you saw who was in there. Here's the thing I don't care for. Why not just dedicate a full show to a Knockouts tournament and a real one? I think find out that they may find out that going with a themed edition, a real theme, unlike those kind of clunky pay-per-view theme shows that they do that don't really mean anything, like, hey, it's the Sacrifice edition of Impact or whatever. You know, sometimes they do a better job of building up to those theme shows than others, but this would be a real theme show. This was an opportunity for them to, and if they only had six women there, okay, well, then bring in two more. But seriously, I don't see why you couldn't go with an eight-woman tournament. I think it might actually do okay for them if they were to take that approach and build the show around it and to have it make it a one-night tournament with the ladies. They took a different approach with this, and so what we get is one three-way match this week and then presumably one next week and then the finals the week after, something like that. They're kind of stretching it out. I think going with that tournament approach too, dedicated an entire show to it, would actually raise the prestige of the Knockouts Championship a little bit. And it could use that after Gail Kim won it and then forfeited, and now you just have six random people going after the title, including Casey Spinelli. Has she won a match in Impact? But she's in the title tournament. I mean, I know it's a numbers thing, but still. They did, using John Moore's report that he does, usually Friday mornings, it's available at ProWrestling.net as my outline, and he pointed out that they showed the wrong graphic for the match that they were going to have with Ali, Rosemary, Sienna. It was actually the other three. Then we got some Johnny Impact and Alberto El Patron teaser footage, and El Patron talked about how Johnny hasn't done anything in Impact Wrestling. And Johnny said that he has history with Alberto and Lucha Underground and AAA. And he said, and then Alberto was shown saying that he and Johnny Impact would be facing off for the first time in the ring, and it would be spectacular. Referring to the Impact ring. And then you had Johnny Impact saying that he wants to make Alberto realize the mistake he made in costing him the championship. Then they went to the opening montage, and then it was time for that first match, the women's triple threat qualifier, and it was Laurel Van Ness winning this over Casey Spinelli and Madison Rayne in 5:46. So Laurel Van Ness will be one of the participants in that match to determine the new Knockouts champion. The match was okay. It was fine for a three-way. Still, again, not sure why Spinelli was even in this match. From a storyline standpoint, didn't really make a whole lot of sense. But Laurel goes over, and by the way, there's already reports out there that she has asked for her release from the company. I haven't been able to confirm whether that's the case or not, but something to keep in mind here as this tournament goes on. Tournament, if you will. I guess two three-way matches and then the final, so something of a tournament. And Josh Matthews, as John noted, said it was a huge upset. John guessed he was playing into the fact that he's married to Madison Rain. And then from there, we went to Alberto El Patron walking outside the building and talking on his phone. Johnny Impact was shown arriving, and from there we went to the broadcast team kind of recapping the situation from a few weeks ago where Taiji Ishimori teamed up with Trevor Lee's crew for really no reason, didn't make any sense, and it didn't go well, at least as far as as far as them being a long-term team, because they split up that night. And then we went to the second match, and this was Taiji Ishimori defeating Hakeem Zayn in 331. Zayn is the guy who won the Global Forge that I'm convinced very few people watched, because started as something they kind of did on the show, then it switched to the website, and I just don't think that many people watched it. And Zayn looks okay, but have we heard from him? If we have, it's been briefly on the show. Why would we be excited about Global Forge if this guy just loses a random match on Impact and we don't hear from him, they don't make a big deal out of it? It's not even about, I guess if you're interested in doing more of those shows, you'd think you'd want this guy to shine. And even if you're not interested in doing more of those shows, well, you put the guy on the show for a reason. It feels like, and there's another example of this later, when they're taping in Canada, and yes, they're going back to Orlando in January, but you would think they're going to be taping in Canada a lot more often. And you would think they would want to try to emphasize some of those local wrestlers and get them over so that if you are going to be taping there on a semi-regular basis, they mean something. And so far, they just come in and lose. And Zayn is no exception. Ishimori, very impressive. And the match was fine. It definitely held my interest. After the match, they went back to the Trevor Lee feud with Ishimori, because he and Caleb Conley showed up and ended up attacking Ishimori. And you're going to end up getting Trevor Lee and Taiji Ishimori for the X Division title, presumably, which should be a lot of fun if they give these guys some time. Definitely a couple of talented individuals. Then we saw James Storm pacing around Mackenzie Mitchell, and he ended up delivering a promo. He was censored for saying effin'. No, he didn't say the long version of that. They censored the effing, as John noted in his report. And he talks about how Dan Lambert wants to take out pro wrestling, but James Storm is pro wrestling, and he's coming to take Lambert and American Top Team out. And that was a promo, and they went to a commercial. We got to see LAX briefly at their clubhouse, and just kind of playing around. There really wasn't a whole lot to this. They did talk about Sami Callihan becoming a problem, and then they started talking about some woman that one of the LAX members was with, and he said that's his future wife or something. So really not much focus to this one in terms of, they're continuing the feud with OVE, obviously, but really not, we've seen stronger from a content standpoint, but good to see, still one of probably the coolest part of the show is when LAX is involved every time, so good to have them on, even if it was brief. Then they went to the match that was from, in this case, the Defy promotion in Seattle, Washington, and we got to see Sami Callihan defeat Randy Myers, not the guy who reads the news here in my area in Minnesota on one of the stations, but an actual wrestler named Randy Myers. We've never seen Randy Myers on Impact Wrestling before. They didn't make any attempt to sell us on Randy Myers, so what this was them going to some, low, not Impact quality production to show a squash match, and a heavily edited one at that. I mean, it was edited to look like a squash match. I'm guessing the real thing was more competitive. But, yeah, it was just, heavily edited. Didn't look good. It didn't look like it fit. No real reason for going to this. I just want them, if you feel the need to air matches from other promotions, that's fine. Make them matter. build up to them. Send if it's just a squash match, but why is this happening? Ask yourself why. Why do we need to go see this squash match? So I would actually make it more competitive matches and involving the talent, and try to tell an actual story, not just some random match as we're seeing. It's a real turnoff. It's an eyesore. I just don't think it fits, and I think there's a better way of doing it. Then they did announce that Defy will be on the Global Wrestling Network. There's actually been several additions to the Global Wrestling Network, the Impact Wrestling streaming service. This is as close as they've come to talking about it. I don't understand what they're doing with that. They keep adding promotions and content. I think John Moore told me the first five WrestleCade shows are on the Global Wrestling Network. And I thought, earlier this week, I was kind of down on him for not. It was like Defy announced it, and one of the other promotions announced it. John's the one who told me about WrestleCade, and yet I didn't. I went out of my way to look on the Impact Wrestling website, nothing. And I'm like, well, give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they'll make a big fuss over this on TV and then kind of start to advertise it after that. I mean, for whatever reason, maybe they thought that was the way to go. No, you get this brief mention of it, and that's it. I don't know what they're doing with the Global Wrestling Network. I know it's a tough week for them with the office in Nashville closing, but I don't know what the point is of adding all of these promotions to your streaming service if no one is going to actually bother to hype and advertise the streaming service. So that needs to improve. We had an Alberto El Patron interview. He was with Mackenzie Mitchell backstage, and he just talked about facing Johnny Impact. And I think it was a great promo, but at the same time, it sure beat that one we had at Bound for Glory, where he just rambled on and on and on. This was rambling, but he doesn't like Johnny Impact, I would say would be the point of this thing. And then she wrapped up the interview, but the camera caught KM beating up a couple of random people. I don't know if they're production people. What he's trying to do is get the attention of Dan Lambert and American Top Team. If you recall, he's courting them. They don't seem all that interested, and they told him to go prove himself. And this is his way of doing it. He's just trying to beat up random people. And it's like, I don't think this is going to work. But we'll find out in a little bit whether it did or not. Then it was time for the next match on the show. We did see, I guess, American Top Team arriving, and actually here it was. It was KM approaching Dan Lambert, asking if he saw what he did to those two guys. And Lambert just kind of was rolling his eyes at this, basically. I didn't really care about this, and they were focused on Bobby Lashley. Then, so I guess back to the drawing board for the KM character. In the fourth match, it was James Storm defeating El Tejano Jr. in 6:25. He ended up winning it with the last row super kick, and then after the match, he ended up with American Top Team coming out and going after Storm. Storm did get the better of this briefly. There's the guy, I don't know his name. They are starting to say the names of the fighters, which is nice. I think for the first time ever, Josh Matthews just ran through the list of names, but I still wasn't able to put a name with the face of this of the one fighter who wears a neck brace, and he had some other bandage, or I think around his head. I think the gimmick is that every week he's going to add something new, and which is kind of funny. In this case, he took a super kick to the face from Storm, so he's just kind of the comedy relief of that. And then, of course, he was outnumbered. Lashley ended up coming out, and or I'm sorry, not Lashley, but Moose came out and helped James Storm. This led to a promo where Dan Lambert ended up announcing that it was going to be James Storm and Moose facing Lashley and his partner, the biggest heel in wrestling, as he said, himself. And Josh Matthews was there saying that Dan Lambert's fantasy pro wrestling camp has gone too far, which is, John pointed out, the way I've been describing this for a while. And he's a decent talker, but I don't really want to see him on my TV at the same time. But this is a decent hook. And by the way, Lashley acting like, really? Well, why the hell am I teaming with you? Lashley didn't look pleased by this, so there's a little development. But yeah, it'll be, I guess the idea is they're trying to get rid of them. So I don't know if this is officially a loser leaves. I don't know that that was specified, but if you're watching the show on a regular basis, then chances are Dan Lambert is getting under your skin, either for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. But I think it's a nice hook that, all right, this guy's actually going to get in the ring. He might see him get his ass handed to him, that kind of a thing. Yeah, decent little hook for next week's show, even though I can't say that I'm... It's more of a weird curiosity to see, are they going to avoid having him do much of anything in this match? That's the kind of approach I'm taking to this. It's not, man, I can't, he's going to get his ass handed to him. No, I don't think that's what we're headed toward. The Pluto TV rewind of the week was Rhino goring Abyss through some wall backstage while Father James Mitchell watched. Then we had a fun, like, fake commercial for Park. It was Joseph Park and his cousin Chandler Park, played by Ethan Page. And this was just kind of a silly, wacky commercial, and it worked for me. Comedy doesn't always work in Impact when everything around it is so gloom and doom. But in this case, it was fun. I don't really know where it's leading, but the idea of just seeing these two ham it up like they were and helping up some guy who was in an accident kind of aggressively, that sort of thing, I thought they did a fun job with it. And John pointed out, he took it further than I did. He actually called the number that they listed, and you do get to hear Joseph Park talking about his grandmother. I guess if you really want to call the number... I hope John got this right. Forgive me if you're someone else, if you got this wrong and you're calling somebody else's house. 615-492-4883. So there you are. The bonus Global Force Wrestling Network match of the week was Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe from TNA Genesis 2006. And they continue to make what I consider to be a mistake by showing you the finish of these matches. Why not make that a selling point? Like, oh my God, if you're somebody, maybe you're new to Impact Wrestling, and you didn't know this even happened? Like, oh, man, Kurt Angle faced Samoa Joe? I wonder who won. Oh, you just showed me. I guess I don't need to see it now. So show highlights of it. You know, maybe try to sell people on that match. Give them something other than just, hey, these guys used to wrestle for us, and now they don't. But you can still go back and watch them. I mean, there just has to be a better way of doing this. Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Johnny Impact, and this was a god-awful promo. This right here, I think, in my mind, kind of explains why Johnny Impact didn't become a major star in WWE. You know, he always was tag team, intercontinental level. It felt like he had the moveset, he had the look. I thought that this guy could have been world champion level, but it was the promos. And this one was so bad. I think he was trying to be intense, and it just didn't work. He just sounded like he was forcing it, and the words, I mean, it just sounded uninspired, even though I think he was going for intensity, and he still likes to talk about taking people to Slamtown. The hell is that? I think he's the only person who thinks Slamtown is cool. If somebody out there listening is going, well, I think it is, all right, that's fine, but for me, it's just like, Slamtown, really, dude? Then we went to EC3. He is still, for some reason, obsessed with Matt Sydal. I think he's the person who cares about Matt Sydal more than anyone at this point. He sat in on commentary and watched as Matt Sydal beat Tyson Dukes in 540 in the fifth match of the show. Match was okay, but, I mean, they introduced Tyson Dukes as this guy who is a highly sought-after free agent, a hot free agent, if you will, and then he just comes to Impact and loses. And... this is definitely, you know, he's the guy that if the people they've used from, you know, the independent scene in Canada, they should be doing a little something with. Again, if you know you're going to be doing more up there, well, make the guy matter. And right now, he's already just become like glorified enhancement wrestler. And the match was decent, but Matt Sydal just pretty bland. And EC3, I think the idea is let EC3 do the bulk of the talking. They're just not making me want to see this match, though. It's just, I'm not there. Then they went to, they did a little Johnny Impact and Alberto El Patron teaser. And then we went to Johnny Impact backstage crossing paths with Petey Williams, who was wearing a Canadian flag, and they went to a commercial. A little foreshadowing there. And then they announced some of the matches for next week, and then Alberto El Patron made his entrance, and they teased more tension between him and Jeremy Borash, because that's what we're all waiting for. You know, that follow-up from Bound for Glory. We can't wait to see Alberto and Borash in the ring together or something. I don't know. Johnny Impact is from Slamtown, USA, in the ring entrances now. Who thinks that's cool? All right, sixth match, main event of this show. It was Johnny Impact defeating Alberto El Patron in 1535. Just a good brawl. These are kind of your main eventers along with Eli Drake right now, and they just, I don't know, there's a spark missing. They don't feel like the especially these two. I still think Eli Drake has a ton of upside, but these guys just don't feel like the major players right now. I know Alberto has a long track record, former WWE champion at AAA, all sorts of places. I get that. He's just cooled off, and Johnny Impact coming in, that promo didn't help him any. But I don't think that he just hasn't really clicked with for me yet in Impact. There's been moments where he's been okay. I think he's a talented individual, especially the in-ring stuff. But it just doesn't, I don't know, there's something about these two working together that even though they work fairly well together, it's not really catching fire. It just doesn't seem like fans are completely rallying behind Johnny Impact. I don't think there's true heat for Alberto El Patron, and so it just all kind of falls a little bit flat. They had Eli Drake show up at ringside. Eli Drake ended up taking a punch from Alberto, and then he hit Drake with the title belt to the back. That opened the door for Johnny Impact to give Alberto a German suplex from the Tree of Woe position that he had been hung up in, and then he got himself free and performed the Starship Pain, which just it's impressive that he can do the flip. But if you actually saw the show and you saw how he hit it, how he landed, it's like that wouldn't hurt anyone. It's kind of like a bad Jeff Hardy Swanton. There's those ones that look like damn, and then there's those ones where he kind of overshoots it, and it's like he didn't. He just kind of grazed him. I'm not saying you need to kill the guy, but has to look at least somewhat good, doesn't it? Anyway, it was Johnny Impact going over because of that. And then afterward, you had Drake hitting Alberto with the belt, and then he went after Johnny Impact. Chris Adonis ended up helping, of course, his man Eli, and they were working over Johnny Impact when we got the O Canada theme song, and that led to Petey Williams coming out and helping Johnny Impact clear the ring. And so it's Petey Williams standing tall along with Johnny Impact to close the show. So I'm guessing we're getting a tag team match with Petey and Johnny Impact against Eli Drake and Chris Adonis, probably for next week or an upcoming show. I think they're all. I was thinking they were setting up a three-way. It's possible they're going to include Petey Williams in this, and it'll be a four-way. I have no idea from the spoilers. I just don't remember. But with Petey being out there in this at the end of the show, it did leave me wondering. It's like, is this a four-way and not the triple threat that I was expecting between with Drake defending the title against Johnny Impact and Alberto? Now you might add Petey to that. I kind of like seeing Petey in the mix. I don't know that I need to see him in a four-way, but I like that he's kind of, it wasn't just kind of, all right, he lost to Eli Drake in a title match, and now it's just back to the X division and forget about Petey. Looks like they have a little bit more in mind for him. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, like I say, not a terrible show, not one that left me anxious to see next week either. Just a show. That's where things stand for Impact Wrestling. And on that note, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Please take a moment and subscribe to our daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. That would really help us out a lot. And follow the brand online at Pro Wrestling Net. And if you're looking for more audio content, know that .NET members are listening to the two-part WWE SmackDown roster evaluation, where Jake Barnett and I went through and discussed every single member of the SmackDown roster. This is a week after Hayden Gleed and I got together for the Ring of Honor roster evaluation. The Ring of Honor roster evaluation was also two parts, went about 2.5 hours. I'm guessing this, I guess I didn't even note the time on this, but I'd be surprised if it was less than 2.5 hours. So a ton of audio content available right now in the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. All you have to do is visit our main page at ProWrestling.net, click into the sign-up area, and you'll find three different pricing options available. Select the one that works best for you, and you'll have instant access to the ad-free version of the website, the mobile site, and our entire history of audio content. We already discussed Impact Wrestling. I did that roster evaluation, John Moore and I did, several months ago. It was kind of a late holdover from the previous year. Normally we do them late in the year, but in that case there was all the turmoil in the company, and it was like a new creative regime, so it was like, how do you kind of figure out where certain people stand? So we kind of held off on that. So that one is also available if you're an Impact Wrestling fan and you want to hear that one to go along with these. And then, of course, still to come, the WWE Raw and NXT roster evaluation still coming up here, ideally before the end of the year. I think we're going to be able to get them all in, but I guess it just kind of depends how much news breaks and everything else, if it allows us to kind of stray from our usual formula that we have for the .NET Weekly audio show. But thank you again for listening, and again, have a wonderful weekend. Take care.